The last time I spoke on the subject we're going to be covering today was about 5 years ago. And I think all of us can agree, 5 years ago, the world we live in was a completely different place than what it is today. Now, 5 years ago, in 2006, we were right in the midst of the housing boom here in Phoenix. The economy was great. Unemployment was low. Speaking for myself, the business I'm in, it was doing extremely well. And, boy, it was, looking back, it was just, wow, what a great time, right? Now, fast forward to today, and the world we live in is, again, a completely different place than what it might have been then. Today, we've got things going on. We've got no government in Egypt, as I know it. The Middle East is in total turmoil right now. We've got the economy that's less than where we'd all like it to be. And we've got earthquakes going on. We've got a lot of signs happening all around us, don't we, brethren? Well, before I get into my main message today, which the main message is going to be the topic of distraction. And more specifically, spiritual distraction. Last time I gave this message, the title was simply Spiritual Distractions. That was the title in the nutshell. Today I wanted to get a lot deeper in that topic, and the title of my message today is Battling Our Spiritual Distractions. But before I begin, I want to challenge everybody here today. I want to challenge it. So the next time you're driving down the highway, driving down the freeway, down a back road, whatever the case may be, and you come upon, you see an accident coming up, don't look at it. Whatever you do, do not look at that accident. Keep your eyes in front of you. You can look in your rearview mirror if you like, but whatever you do, do not look at that accident. I have come to the opinion that it is humanly impossible not to look at an accident when we come upon one. It's just, last week I logged more than 800 miles in my job, and if memory serves, I saw 8 accidents. So that's about 1 accident per 100 miles traveled. At least that was my experience. And I can say from my own experience, I looked at each and every one of them. So I want to give you some statistics, and this is the 6 most common causes of automobile accidents, and this does tie into my message. These aren't just empty statistics. After the world's first automobile-related fatality, which occurred in London in 1896, the coroner said, "This must never happen again." Little did he know, from that time on, some 25 million people would have died in vehicle-related accidents, according to the World Health Organization. And even with all the advancements in vehicle safety technology, the number of people killed in auto accidents continues to rise. Close to 1.2 million people die each year on the world's roads, and that number is expected to rise by 65%. By the year 2020, says a report by the World Health Organization and World Bank. What's causing all these accidents, which are, according to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration, that's a big title, NHTSA, the leading cause of death among people aged 3 to 33, and I want you to listen to this because this is actually pretty stunning. Should the leading cause, traffic accidents are the leading cause of people worldwide ages 3 to 33, traffic accidents. That's according to the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration again. Then should then be a great deal of interest to us all of us drivers out there. Ironically, when you look at the 6 top reasons, you'll see that the greatest threat to drivers is the driver themselves. And now I just want to give you the top. In fact, I'll give you a few more pieces of information. The number one cause of driver-related accidents or traffic accidents is distracted drivers. Mark Edwards, director of safety of AAA, states, The research tells us that somewhere between 25 and 50% of all motor vehicle crashes in this country really have their driver distraction as their root cause. The distractions are many, but according to a study conducted by the Virginia Department of Motor Vehicle and the Virginia Commonwealth University, rubbernecking, or slowing down to gawk at another accident, caused most accidents, accounting for 16% of all distraction-related crashes. And here's a quote. I've had as many as 3 accidents at one scene, at one intersection, says Officer John Carey of the Fairfax County Police Department. Rubbernecking is the most dangerous distraction in my experience. Rubbernecking. Taking your eyes off the road, looking around, taking your eye off of the intended target. Just to fill in the remaining 4 or 5 others, driver fatigue, drunk driving, speeding, aggressive driving, and weather fill out the top 6 reasons. But the number one cause of driver-related accidents is rubbernecking. That was the statistic back in 2006 when I first spoke on this topic. Now, are we susceptible, brethren, you and I, susceptible to spiritual rubbernecking? Consider Lot's wife in Genesis 19 and verse 26. When she looked back, was she looking back at taking her eyes off of the intended target God wanted her to focus on and looking back at what she left behind? Or Israel after they left Egypt. Now, there's a lot of information for you. There's some rubbernecking in how many times they look back and longing for what they left behind. How many times during that 40-year stint are we guilty of doing the same thing? Do we become distracted by the things we don't have? Yeah, it was a great time. In 2006, when I first spoke on this topic, well, let's see. Were there distractions? Yes, there were. Because I knew all I had to do is work a little bit harder, work a few more extra hours, and I can make some more money. Yeah, things were a lot better. We could get stuff, and stuff is, frankly, a distraction. We'll get into that here in a few minutes. Today, I want to take a closer look and see how physical distractions, the distractions that each and every one of us experience in our life, how they can cause us to become spiritually distracted. And that's what we really need to avoid as God's people. Can we eliminate distractions from our lives? Oh, no. I think everybody knows the answer to that. As a matter of fact, they're going to continue to increase. We know that distractions are continuing to go up. Unbutton my coat. We've got this little thing here, our cell phones, we got iPhones, we got iPads, we've got laptops, we've got computers, we've got instant information, we've got cable channels galore, hundreds of them, we've got XM radio, the list goes on and on and on. We've got Nintendo, we've got kids are the most distracted right now. As a matter of fact, my wife and I had the rare opportunity about a month ago to go out to dinner for the first time in a long time. And as we were sitting there enjoying our meal, you know, looking across at each other and actually having a conversation, we looked around and there were at least 6 people sitting there texting, not paying attention to the people that they were having dinner with. And every time you could hear the sound of a text message being received, you'd see about 5 people grab their phone. Was that me? That's distractions, brethren. But, you know, those are physical distractions. You know, those are actually kind of minor. But as we see, as time goes on, technology continues to advance at a lightning pace. Boy, the distractions keep getting greater and greater and greater. And again, we can't eliminate distractions. Just impossible to do. But we can learn to focus more intently and avoid and help overcome these distractions. The first thing we need to do, and I gave this definition 5 years ago when I spoke on this topic, this is from the Webster's Revised Unabridged Dictionary, and it defines distraction as follows. Distraction, the act of distracting. Well, that's pretty obvious. A drawing apart or separation. to separate. Interesting. To create distraction among us. That which diverts attention from the intended direction. A diversion. A diversity of direction. State in which attention is called in different ways. And here's a good one for you. These are all definitions of distractions, you know, different portions of it. Confusion, perplexity, disturbance, disorder, dissension, disarrangement. Now, here's one that I found a little interesting. I actually found surprising. Madness. Madness is one of the definitions of distraction. Raving. Franticness. Furiousness. So there's emotion involved in distraction. So again, I've already covered some of the different kinds of distractions we have today. Xbox, Nintendo, iPhones, iPads, laptops, TiVo, DVRs, da-da-da-da-da. We can go on and on and on. Today, I'm not here to talk about necessarily all those things. The main topic is spiritual distraction. Well, there's no, at least I couldn't find any dictionary, what a spiritual distraction is. But I think the answer is actually fairly obvious. So what I put together for this message today is three different definitions of what spiritual distraction is. Okay? Number one. A spiritual distraction is anything that takes our focus off of God and His plan and turns our focus or attention in a different direction. Now, keep in mind, in fact, I want to keep this kind of close at hand, that definition, because it's going to come into play several times during this message. Number two, definition of a spiritual distraction. A spiritual distraction is anything that takes our focus off of serving God and God's people and turns our focus or attention in a different direction. Now, number three, the third definition of what a spiritual distraction is really, I think, the most important. So keep this in mind. A spiritual distraction is anything that takes our focus off of God and God's people and turns it inward. Turns our focus inward, takes our focus off of God, God's plan, God's law, God's people, helping and loving and serving God's people, and turns it inward, focusing primarily on ourselves. Now, if you'd open your Bibles right now to 1 Corinthians, and let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 7. God makes it clear what he wants. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. And we're going to read just one verse. In verse 35. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare on you, but for that which is right, and that you may attend or focus on the Lord without distraction. Without distraction. God doesn't want us to be distracted, especially on this Sabbath day, this day that He set aside for us. The Sabbath day is really where we need to be focusing primarily on God. Now, if we, and I think all of us have done this one time or another, done something we shouldn't have done or that we knew we shouldn't have done on the Sabbath day, chances are we became spiritually distracted at that time. I think you'd all agree with that statement. What I want to do now is look at another word that is very similar in context to being distracted. And that word is tempt, to be tempted. So I want to look at the definition of tempt and kind of compare it to distraction and see what we come up with. Entice or attempt to entice. to do or acquire something that they find attractive but know to be wrong or not beneficial. To be tempted to do something or have an urge or an inclination to do something. Attract, allure. Archaic, risk-provoking. And this I found interesting. A deity or abstract force, usually with undesired consequences. Now, the similarities between being tempted and being distracted, I think should be fairly obvious. Anything that turns our mind, turns our focus from serving the brethren, from loving the brethren, to turning our thoughts and focus on ourselves, anything that tempts us, boy, that, you know, this is what I could do with this, but this is what I should do. Anything that turns our focus from God, God's plan for us, God's desire for us to serve and care for his people, and turns it inward, where we're considering ourselves before we consider others. I think you'd all agree that that's a form of distraction. Now, one thing I want to point out right here is God will never, ever tempt us. And that's very clear in the Bible. We're going to turn there in a moment. Although he does allow us to be tempted, and he allows us to be tempted for several obvious reasons, so we can be tested. God does test us. So if you'll turn to James, turn back to the book of James, James 1, and we're going to start in verse 12. So James 1, and starting in verse 12. Blessed be the man who endures trials. For when he has stood the test, he shall receive the crown of life. And that's James 1, verse 12. Which the Lord has promised to those who love him. And in verse 13, let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, nor does he tempt any man. Now this is the key scripture right here that I really look at. Verse 14, but every man is tempted when he was drawn away, distracted, if you will, drawn away. I lost my spot here, excuse me. When he was drawn away and enticed by his own lust. Then when lust has conceived, it brings forth sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death. Now, the question we need to ask ourselves right now, and I think this is a very important question, each and every one of us need to ask it. Are we a distraction to others? Are we a distraction to others? And we really need to kind of consider that. I know, and this I'm going to give you a personal example. When I get stressed out at work, and emotions can be a big, huge distraction. I get stressed out at work, and I bring it home with me. It's very difficult for me to shake it all off. And when I come home, my wife and my son, I'm not saying they pay the price, but my distraction, my personal, they walk around me differently. It's not the same atmosphere. It's not the same environment that it should be. My focus is now diverted, looking inward, and maybe I'm turning their focus in a different direction or a unwise direction as well. Now, I got into a little bit about the anger, so or bitterness or stress. So what about these? Can they be spiritual distractions? Well, absolutely, absolutely. Now, bitterness, that's something where we don't want to be responsible for being the one that won't let go of the pent-up emotions, the bitterness, the anger. Now, it may be against a family member. It may be somebody that we work with. It may be maybe our spouse. Maybe somebody that we attend services with here. But if we're not releasing that bitterness, those hostile feelings, for whatever reason they are, then chances are we are personally spiritually distracted. Let's turn to Mark 9. Let's turn in our Bibles right now to Mark 9. Mark 9 and in verse 42, and we're going to show several examples here. This is the only one I'm going to turn to, and I'll read the others out of my notes. Mark 9 and verse 42. Whosoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, be better for him if a great millstone were hung around his neck and he were thrown into the sea. So that's how important it is for us not to be a spiritual distraction to others around us. And frankly, brethren, I think it's possible that we can be a spiritual distraction. And when we look at distraction, and taking the analogy of automobile accidents, we don't want this to be a multi-car pileup or a soul pileup, if you will. We want to avoid these. We've got to be aware of what causes these. And frankly, Satan, but also human nature. And we are our own worst enemies in many, many cases. So again, I wanted to talk on a couple other areas, show you how important it is that we don't become a distraction for others. In Luke 17 and verse 2, you don't have to turn there, I'll read it from my notes. It would be better for him if a millstone were hung around his neck and he were cast into the sea than that he should cause one of these little ones to sin. And in Matthew 18 and verse 6, but whosoever causes one of these little ones who believes in me to sin, it would be better for him to have a great millstone fastened around his neck and to be drowned in the depths of the sea. It all says the same thing. We do not want to cause, by our attitude towards others or our hostilities, whatever the situation may be, we need to be on guard. We really need to be on the lookout. Now, just because God himself doesn't tempt us doesn't mean he doesn't allow us to be tempted. And frankly, he does this to test us. This is how he knows what our character is as his people. He knows who we are by allowing us to go through these trials, these temptations, but he'll never do it. God also, and this is something where I do want to make this point, God also disciplines us, and we can't really, we don't want to confuse those two. There's a difference between testing us and a difference between disciplining us, completely different. You can turn here if you would like. In Hebrews 12, I'll make this point real quick. Hebrews 12 and verse 6. For whom the Lord loves, he disciplines and scourges every son whom he receives. You must endure for discipline. God deals with you as with a son. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? Now, give you an example of some of the disciplining that went on. I think he treats every person a little differently, but we can see the discipline that Israel themselves experienced for 40 years. Now, it wasn't God being a vindictive God or God being a merciless God that allowed them to wander what they considered aimlessly through the desert for 40 years. But as we know, those original adults that left Egypt didn't see the promised land. That's a discipline. And there was reasons, as we can spell out, and I don't have time to get into all the reasons, but that was a disciplinary action from God the Father. So let's get into something that's a little different than a distraction. In fact, the opposite. And the opposite of distraction is focused. Focused. And I want to just give a brief description. The center of interest or activity. An act of concentrating interest or activity on something. And again, just to touch on the definition of distraction, something that diverts attention. So you can see these are two diametrically opposite words, to be focused and then to be distracted. Two diametrically opposite words. Something that interferes with concentration or takes attention away from something else or where it was intended. Now, I think we can all agree, not all distractions are bad. You know, I mean, now there's got a lot of negative connotation in the word distraction, but I've been guilty of saying, wow, I really need a distraction. I need to get my mind off of what I've been focusing on, be it work or whatever the case may be. So we can look at another distraction, another definition of distraction is amusement. Amusement. Now we're going to go out with the teens tomorrow and do some rock climbing. This is a distraction. We want these kids to get together, or these teens, these young ones to get together with those with like mind. But it's a distraction from the world we live in, and that's a good thing. Something providing entertainment or amusement, especially something that takes the mind off of work, and I need that quite often, and worries and helps relaxation. Now, some bad examples once again. Emotional upset, a state of great mental upset or emotional intensity. And again, look at focus. Concentrated on a particular thing. Single-minded. These are definitions of focused. Single-minded and determined. This is what we need to be when it comes to serving and loving God's people, when it comes to paying attention to God's law. And the opposite of distraction is focus. We need to be focused. We must be focused. In the Bible, you don't have to turn there. In Psalms 86 and verse 11, the scripture reads, "Teach me your way, O Lord. I walk in your truth. Unite or focus. Hang on. My heart to fear your name." God wants us to be focused on him, to unite or to focus. Colossians 3, verses 1 and 2. "Then if you were raised with Christ, seek or focus on those things which are above, which Christ focused, things which are focused above, which are Christ, which, boy, getting tongue-tied, where Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. Set your mind or focus your thoughts on things that are above, not on the things of the earth." And this I'm going to read out of the God's Word translation, 1 Timothy 4 and verse 16. We are told to focus on your life and your teaching. It says it quite clearly. We need to be focused on God's teaching, God's law, and where our life is headed. Again, it's going to be it's inevitable we are going to be distracted. Distraction is just part of the life we live. It's part of something that's going to continue to increase. It's not going to be reduced. I want to refer to an editorial. And actually, this is an older editorial, but it's very timely for today. I'm going to read a few things, so I'm going to wet my lips. And this, editorial, "Getting Things in Focus, September, October 2001. Have you ever imagined what it must have been like to be a wealthy, powerful king like Solomon? The common people, if they wanted to have music, they had to sing it or make an instrument and play it themselves. Solomon, on the other hand, could call on dozens of singers who probably had songs for every mood. A king, if he was bored, could have dancers, actors, athletes, all at his beck and call. Even more amazing, though, is that in the modern world, we also have entertainment choices galore. Dozens of CDs, which are now Blu-ray, dozens of TV channels, which are now hundreds of channels. A king like Solomon would have been amazed. We have options beyond his wildest dreams. You may remember that Solomon started out wholeheartedly seeking God and his wisdom. And God blessed him with great wisdom and prosperity. But something went wrong. It seemed that even wise Solomon let his options distract him from God and God's ways. Continuing in the article, or the editorial, distractions can trip us up, make us feel less effective, and keep us from, even keep us from, the kingdom of God. On the other hand, being focused can help us be effective in our priorities, achieve our goals, and wholeheartedly serve God for all eternity. It seems Solomon let his getting of things and wives distract him from his first love, from wholeheartedly seeking God. It's too easy in today's age, in this day and age, to also get distracted. So I want to continue on here because there's some very valuable information to keep us focused, to keep us from being distracted. What can we do? Consider also the classic scripture in any discussion of priorities, Matthew 6:33. This section of the Sermon on the Mount talks about food and drink, nice clothing, all the things we need and want. God focuses us on the important things in verse 33. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. This is what we need to do, is we need to seek or focus our thoughts on God and his way of life. I also want to refer to another article, and this one was authored by Scott Ashley, managing editor of the Good News Magazine. This came from the July-August 2010 edition. The title was The Danger of Distraction. Now, some 26 centuries ago, an angelic messenger revealed to the prophet Daniel what would be a defining characteristic of our age. At the time of the end, he said, many shall run to and fro. Now, let me ask a question. Do you see the pace picking up, or do you see it slowing down as far as the busy lives we lead? I am speaking strictly for myself once again. My calendar, I've got 4 email accounts on my phone, and I just can't get enough done. There's just not enough hours in the day. I've got to schedule. We've got to schedule time to meditate on God and his way of life. In Daniel's day, I'm continuing in the article now. In Daniel's day, who in his wildest dream could have foreseen the huge change in transportation and information technology that have so powerfully reshaped our world? When it comes to information, many of us have access to thousands of news sources all over the world via the internet, not to mention entire electronic libraries at our disposal. In addition, we're deluged with information that pours down on us consistently from our TVs, radios, phones, computer monitors, laptops, books, newspapers, and magazines. In spite of all that information inundating society, most lack the knowledge that's most important. So we've got these things that we've got all these tools at us. We can just get information anytime we want it. The problem is, brethren, are we absorbing the right information? Now, another statistic that I think most of us should be aware of, the most viewed content on the internet is pornography. These are things that the world is absorbing, and I think we've all experienced this at one time or another, and I consider this a major distraction in my life. When I log onto a web page, or you might get a spam email, and you click on it, and it takes you to that page that no one should see. And I think it's happened to most of us. Those are things that really distract us. So what can we do? And this is continuing from Scott Ashley's article. Have you ever considered how many great men of God, this is an action item, this is something where we need to consider this, how many great men of God spent considerable time alone in the wilderness? Moses spent 40 years as a shepherd tending flocks in the desert. David grew up in the outdoors as a shepherd boy. His many psalms reflect the formative part of his life. Elijah fled into the desert to escape the wrath of the murderous Jezebel. Now, let's look at Jesus. Jesus regularly went into the wilderness to avoid the crowds and commune with his Father. We need to have time. Just to cut to the chase on this, we need to have the time. We need to afford ourselves the time. We need to take a break. We need a diversion. We need a distraction from the world that we live in so we can focus primarily on God. We need to get away and meditate. We need to contemplate and consider God's way of life and God's plan for us. Now, with all these men, something about the calm and quiet of the wilderness purged their minds of life's distraction. Now, I don't do this near often enough where I just get away, shut the world off. And I used to say that the world gets, or life gets in the way of all the plans we make. You can write that down. I think I crafted that one myself. But life gets in the way of all the plans we make. Now, I plan on getting up. I plan on doing just this, and I plan on doing just that. But the life we live is so busy where we don't do the things the way we quite plan. And I think life kind of interrupts us. Well, brethren, as I begin to wind down on my message today, I want to cover primarily some scriptures right now. And I want to turn to Colossians 3. Let's all turn over to Colossians 3. And these are things that we need to be focused on. I want to emphasize that right now, as I begin to wind down. Colossians 3, and I want to start in verse 1. If you have been raised with Christ, seek or focus on those things which are above, where Christ sits at the right hand of God. We read that scripture earlier. Verse 2, focus your affection on the things above, not on the things of the earth. For you are dead, and your life is hidden with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then you shall also appear with him in glory. But we need to focus our attention on him. This needs to be the primary thoughts as often as possible. It's almost a math equation. We can't be focusing on ourselves. We can't make ourselves a primary focus. We need to be focusing on God. We need to be focusing on the brethren, to loving, to serving, to visiting the widows, as it says. Now, these are the things that we don't want to be distracted on. Continuing in verse 5. Therefore, put to death what is earthly in you. And it lists sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires, and covetousness, which is idolatry. For because of these things, the wrath of God is coming, and in them you also walked at one time when you lived in them. So God's telling us right there, yeah, these are things that you've done, but they cannot be your focus anymore. We need to look forward. We need to focus on each other. We need to be focusing on God's law, God's plan for us. And frankly, this, we've got many booklets at our disposal. You know, go out to the information table, and I'm not even sure how many booklets are available. Those are things where we need to be focusing our attention. That steers us in the right direction. In verse 8, but now put off all these, anger. Now, When we get angry, can that be a spiritual distraction? Wrath, malice, slander, and filthy speech from your mouth. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old man with his deeds. We don't want to look back at that old man. We don't want to continue dragging that corpse with us. We want to leave that behind and focus our attentions forward. Now I want to drop down to verse 12. Therefore, as the chosen of God, holy and beloved, put on hearts of mercy. That's focus. Kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience. Bearing with one another and forgiving one another to eliminate that root of bitterness that may be in us. Anything, again, that takes our attention off of God and focuses our attention internally is not where we want to have our thoughts, brethren. So as I conclude now, I want to conclude with actually the first scripture that I began with. So let's all turn back now to 1 Corinthians 7. And verse 35. I want to conclude with that same scripture. 1 Corinthians 7 and verse 35. And this I speak for your own profit, not that I may cast a snare on you, but for that which is right, and that you may attend or focus on the Lord without distraction. We need to be focused, brethren, on the Lord, on God's plan for each and every one of us, for doing His will, for loving each other, for serving each other, paying attention to each other, and eliminating those roots of bitterness that we may have pent up, and focusing outward, not inward.